good hearing those praises. It's good to praise the Lord. And it looks good on you too. You turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. We'll be dealing with a question that really is appropriate for me at this time. Dealing with the struggle with weight. And not patience. I'm talking about actual weight. And body image and what the world is telling us. And the question is, what does the Bible say? And I guess in a way, we're asking about dieting too, which is a definite part of this. And it's a good reminder. My wife and I have just jumped on the wagon. We've gotten some nudging from some family members, and we appreciate that. I don't really appreciate it, but I'll say it to make myself a little bit more righteous. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, there are basic fundamental principles of this concept. I mean, the Bible doesn't just come out and say, you need to go on a diet. And it doesn't say that you should eat this food or that food. But we do have fundamental principles. And it's these principles that I want to give you at this time that I hope will be helpful. The first is, if I could just kind of outline this, and I'm not going to make this a mini sermon, but I think it's important to address these issues. The first is to put first things first. It's easy to be consumed with your weight and make that the issue, make the outward appearance the issue. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you come to the end of verse 7, he says this, on the other hand, discipline yourself with the purpose of godliness. Now that's the first thing first. In other words, how does this draw me closer to the Lord? That's the issue. The fact of the matter is this body is decaying. And no matter how well you treat it, ultimately you're going to dust. But our desire is to glorify God in these bodies, and we have to put first things first. Now, his statement in this, if you look at verse 8, is this. For bodily discipline is only of a little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for this present life and also for the life to come. So the emphasis should always be on the pursuit of godliness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, 1 Samuel tells us in 16:7 that man looks at the outward appearance. We understand that. But the Lord looks at the heart, and that's more important. So how we go about this, that has to be predominant in our thoughts. Okay, but my walk with God is far more important than my, because you can become consumed with this stuff. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, in which Paul declares this, we now recognize no man according to the flesh anymore. And once again, we know that the world is looking on the outside. Paul will even write to the Corinthians and he says, there are some of you who take pride in your appearance. And that's very easy to do. We have advertisements that say, do it for yourself. But Scripture is saying, don't do it for yourself. So you need to listen to what the Bible says, because that's what's going to renew not only your outward, but renew your mind. Peter writes that it needs to be the hidden person of the heart that we focus on. So my first principle basically fundamentally is this, put first things first. The second point is this, that you need to let no one, you, yourself, anybody, seek your own good. Let no one, Scripture says, seek your own good. Now, I know that's hard to do, especially when you're dieting, because your thought is, well, this is for me. But once again, the Bible's saying, no, you can't seek your own good. Dieting can actually become very obsessively speaking narcissistic. You could look in the mirror 50 times a day. You know, before long, you're weighing yourself 20 times a day. You know, hoping that maybe that one thing you did today was going to knock off that one extra pound or whatever. And before long, you become consumed with this. The same thing is true with overeating. Overindulgence is just a selfish, self-gratifying thing that you do. So the point of the matter is that you're not seeking your own good. By the way, this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you'll turn there with me. He says in chapter 10, verse 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Verse 24, let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. So, you're going on a diet? Good. Do it for someone else. Dads, you might need to lose some weight so you can be around for your kids. You don't have heart attacks. Be considerate of others, thinking of others. As you begin to be motivated by this motivation, the Spirit of God begins to work and empower you. I do not believe that the Spirit of God empowers us to do selfish things. But I do believe the Spirit of God empowers us to do selfless things. And quite frankly, there are times that I would eat vegetables for my wife, but I wouldn't eat them for myself. There is an empowering that comes through that. Let no one seek his own good. And then the third point is this, if you look in the same text, and you'll drop on down to verse 31. Whether then you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You're seeking to please Him. This is not about you, it's about Him. And actually, within this particular text, he's telling us what to eat, what you eat should be for the glory of God. When you eat should be to the glory of God. Where you eat should be to the glory of God. All of these things should be to the glory of God, that His name would be elevated. And quite frankly, there are going to be times that you're going to eat things that may not be really healthy for you. But for the glory of God and for the ministry, you're going to do that. So God is calling us to walk in this ministry mindset that we might elevate Him. Be considerate, want what's best for others, but most of all, that the gospel be proclaimed. Now this takes us to our final point, and that's this, that you and I need to practice discipline for the sake of the kingdom. We need to practice discipline in all things, Scripture says. If you look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, Paul writes this, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. So though I may not like the whole concept of practicing self-control, it's good for me. And I need to practice it in every area of my life. All things. Not just once again, we'll get fixated on the physical, not just the physical, but in every area of our life. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Now the bottom line is that your weight's not the ultimate issue. It's about your heart. And look, you can get the external taken care of and fixed, and you can perceive yourself as being taken care of. But the fact of the matter is that the only thing that has happened is you've become arrogant in your ability to take care of things in your life. It's an interesting text, and I want to be careful how I share this, but it's found in Matthew chapter 12. But I think it's a crucial point that we need to mark well in our minds and in our hearts. Without going into too much depth in Matthew chapter 12, there is an emphasis about signs and how our tendency is to want signs from God. And more specifically, we want Him to, you know, basically be a Santa Claus in our lives. He begins to proclaim that this, of course, is sinful. To demand of God to show me this thing, to make this happen, to give me what I want. Because really, once again, it's self-consuming and it's, God, why can't you do this for me? It's in the context of that that I want you to drop on down, because he talks about the demonic forces. And if you read with me, we'll pick up in verse 43. He says this: "Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, 'I'll return to my house from which I came.' When it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order." Now, to me, the emphasis of this particular passage is that God is warning us of fixing our problems in our own realm, putting our whole life in order based on our ability and our self-discipline for our gratification and for our aggrandizement and for our appearance towards others. He's warning you. You can get your house in order, but you're still empty inside. The Spirit of God is not. And you think that by putting your house in order that you're no longer attractive to evil forces. He says, I tell you, you're more attractive to evil forces. Because forces like pride and selfishness and greed will come in. And before long, it's almost impossible to talk to the arrogant of heart, because they've fixed their life. They perceive this to be true. So his statement is, it says, "I'll return to my house from which I came." Then it comes, finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. It goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the last state of that man has become worse than the first. That is the way it will be in this evil, selfish, self-centered generation. Okay? So just a word of warning. You want to do this right. Do you need to get your house in order? Yes, but you put God first. And, this thing can become so self-consuming that it becomes the conversation. It becomes your lifestyle. It becomes, look, do it quietly. Do it as unto the Lord. Do it for Him. And God will bless. Does God want you to be disciplined? Actually, in all things, He wants you to be disciplined. So, preaching to myself too. Father, we give you thanks for your word and for putting us on the right track. Lord, we're so thankful that it's not the outward appearance that really concern you the most, but it's our hearts. Lord, help us to focus on establishing righteousness within us as we submit our will to you in everything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.